Hello everyone, this is Peter Granich on Friday, May 15th, just after 7 a.m. here on the East Coast. As always, this should never be considered investment advice. You should always speak to a licensed financial advisor before making any investment decision and to read all my disclosures. They don't ring a bell at the top and is a classic Wall Street proverb, meaning the exact peak of a stock market is never announced. Investors only realize they were at the top in hindsight, often only after a sudden crash or bear market has already begun. Last Sunday evening, I issued a blog post entitled "There's Always a 7 Out." In it, I compared the status of the U.S. stock market to an all-too-rare situation in the casino game craps, whereupon the person throwing the dice and most of the folks at the table who are betting on him or her experience an incredible run of good fortune well beyond normal, and become so caught up in it that they act like the game can never end, which occurs when a 7 is thrown after the point is established. A link to that podcast is below. I'm here to tell you, like I noted on my X page yesterday, Trump crapped out in China, and historians will look back on this day as the new superpower took its reign, and the world took the assumption that that has occurred. I also wrote that I was strongly considering an aggressive short position on the U.S. stock market, which, if enacted, would be the first time since 2008. I must insist, while I am taking the time to do this podcast in the wee hours of Friday morning, my X page is where one needs to keep abreast of my latest thoughts. Clients of our planning group, please note you can always communicate directly with me and not have to just depend on these media sources. This commentary is brief in nature, considering all there is to be concerned about, and I again will use my X page to communicate it in much better detail and as often as needed in what I truly believe is historic times for markets, economies, and life itself. First and foremost, I remind you I put my pant legs on one leg at a time, too. As I often say, those of us who look into a crystal ball become experts only on how to eat broken glass. Maybe after 42 years in and around the financial arena, I may have lost enough money at times to lessen those chances, and even as a blind squirrel, will find a special nut or two along the way. So here's my latest thoughts, and again, my X page is where the primary way to continue communicating my observations and what I'm doing for myself is going to be used. To set the stage, I need to go back 5 years, when I took a path that few, if any, on Wall Street chose as well. I believed a major global shift was underway, that one that would lead to deep economic, social, and political consequences. In simple terms, I saw the rise of the BRIC nations as a signal that America was reaching its peak in global dominance and that the dollar's influence will begin to weaken through what we now know as de-dollarization. That view led me to believe gold would play a much larger role outside the U.S. and that owning U.S. debt was unwise, especially as the global era of zero interest rates appeared to be ending and bonds appeared likely to underperform for years. I said then I expected gold to outperform both broad general equities and U.S. bonds, and I believe the best course was to hold only T-bills and CDs with maturities of 1 year or less. Most people dismissed that view. Ironically, only one client followed the advice exactly. Fast forward to today. Choosing gold over broad equities and especially over bonds proved to be the better decision. Moving from physical gold ownership, then into major mining stocks, and then into junior resource stocks further strengthened those results. I never became optimistic about the broad equities or bond market again, and while the path I outlined proved to be the right one, I still did not anticipate just how large and powerful this unprecedented bubble would become. Even so, I have no regrets because that approach remains highly rewarding to this point. In a business where you're often judged by your latest call, and for some that judgment happens to be just hours or days, here is where my current outlook is pointing to. My core convictions remain unchanged and have only strengthened as the bubble has continued to grow. First and foremost, less is more, and debt remains the dirtiest four-letter word. Living within our means is mandatory, And for some, we're going to need to live with even less than our means due to spiraling and out of control cost in life and governments that will be looking to tax us more and give us less services as they pile on debt. Capital preservation over capital appreciation is the main goal. It will not be how much one makes, but one doesn't lose that will separate the winners from the losers. With such a foundation under one's feet, and knowing I don't like cookie-cutter portfolios, as not only are no two people exactly like, I even find spouses differ greatly when it comes to how they choose to set up their financial planning, I do think this is a general way to start with. Depending on age and financial and mental anguish tolerance levels, limited or no direct general equity ownership is okay with me, because there must be growth to some clients' portfolios and maintain purchasing power overall. I am a big fan of RILAs and other similar investment vehicles where one can share in equity upside potential, but also limit or eliminate equity loss potential. Those options require expertise counseling, and thankfully our planning group team has someone who is fully capable in that area. That same colleague and I differ somewhat on bond exposure, and for most investors, the right approach likely falls somewhere between our views. I have stated repeatedly that the 10-year Treasury would not remain meaningfully below 4%, despite years of Wall Street predictions that rates were heading a lot lower and bonds were super attractive. I also said the 10-year yield would reach at least 5% by 2027, and I remain more comfortable than ever with that outlook. Because many clients and followers are especially interested in my views on metals and mining, I want to share my latest thoughts here while emphasizing again that my X page remains the best place to follow my most current updates. I will start with copper. Unlike gold and silver, which I was willing to sell at what turned out to be favorable levels, copper has been my top metal choice since I first turned bullish in 2022 when it was below $3.50 a pound. So far, my targets and timing have held up well as copper continues to form a pattern of higher highs and higher lows. My price target of 7 by 2027 remains intact. However, earlier this week, I noted on my X page signs of excessive enthusiasm, suggesting that a much-needed consolidation was coming, and that appears to be happening now as I speak. Longer term, however, the outlook remains very strong, with fundamentals that are as favorable now than any time since I first turned bullish. As for silver, I did not turn bullish until 2025, when it briefly dipped below 30. Since then, I have noted it showed signs of leadership, but the current sell-off makes it clear that it cannot sustain a move much higher on its own without at least gold joining the ride. I have said that gold needs two consecutive closes above 4,800 to confirm that the corrective phase was over, and that still appears to be true. Even so, I moved too quickly in that judgment because silver and copper were performing so well. In doing so, I made the classic investment mistake of assuming too much too soon. As the chart below shows, gold needs at least two closes above 4,800 to make a technical case that the correction has ended. However, with lower highs and lower lows still in place, you cannot deny the risk of a decline to as low as 4,000 remains. And until gold moves back above 4,800, we must remain somewhat defensive. In a more extreme scenario, gold could fall as low as 3,500 and still remain bullish over the long term. Hopefully, no one now needs to call 911 after hearing that. Last, but certainly not least, I know many who like to know what I am buying or selling. Again, I'm imploring that this is not investment advice, and what's good for the goose is not always good for the gander. My personal equity ownership, as we speak, is as follows. My largest single holding continues to be North Isle Copper and Gold. North Island Copper and Gold at $3 Canadian or under is a buy in my prejudicial view. Radisson and also Group 11 Resources are basically my next largest holdings, almost similar in dollar holdings. Both of them at a dollar Canadian or below are speculative buys in my view. And finally, I hold a position in a unique situation that's only first developing and has moved quite a lot, and I would only look to purchase on pullbacks, and that is Silver Crown Royalties, which I will speak more of on my X page along with the other three. Please note that I'll be taking a mini vacation from May 20th through May 26th. My daughter Tara is expecting our first grandchild around June 30th, though the baby already weighs well over 5 pounds and is very active. Rose may arrive early, and any time after Memorial Day will be just fine. Please, God. Please now have a most blessed Friday.